Hey everyone, Jason Malone here. Welcome to the Jesus on Display podcast. Before we begin today's content, I wanted to say thanks for supporting us here at Fellowship Greenville with your gifts and your generosity. Because of your giving, we get to share resources like this podcast with you to help reach you wherever you are in your life with Jesus. If you'd like to support the ministry of Fellowship Greenville, you can head to fellowshipgreenville.org/give to get started. Thanks so much for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's episode. Jesus would often tell parables, stories that have a spiritual truth, and Jesus is using lots of everyday things to illustrate the story and share the truth. Jesus would talk about things like soil and fishing nets and yeast and weeds and pearls and money. And these parables were often told for those that were willing to truly hear from Jesus, while others, they didn't get it at all. And if you read through the Gospels, you'll even find that the disciples misunderstood some of Jesus's parables. And the parable I just read is about being faithful while waiting for Jesus to come back by stewarding well what he has given to us. And I think this parable stands out in a world that is constantly telling us that it's all about us and what we can get. And the promise of what we get making us happy. And Jesus, he talked a ton about stewardship and money, possessions. So many of his parables, almost half, are about money. He had some strong thoughts and opinions when it comes to stewardship and money and possessions. But it was more than simply, and here's what I would like for us to think about a little bit this morning. It's more than simply an optional way of thinking about things. Jesus had a totally different mindset. That's what the early church had caught on to by listening to the guys who walked with Jesus. Because Jesus had a kingdom mindset. And you see that play out as the church grows, whether in Acts or Paul later on when he talks with the church at Philippi and the church at Corinth. His Christ followers were putting into practice what Jesus taught. And to Jesus, money and possessions, they weren't a symbol of your worth. Those things and many other things have been placed in our hands to steward towards kingdom opportunities as we continue to wait on his return. Let's walk back through it section by section. This is what it says in verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey, called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another one, to each according to his ability. So let's think about it. Let's say you're the servant of a very wealthy person. He owns a ton of land, and one day the boss decides he's gonna take a year off and travel the globe. He calls you into his gigantic house, his mansion, and you're there with 2 other guys or ladies that work for the boss man, and he divides everything up for the 3 of you to take care of while he is gone. You each get a certain amount to oversee and manage and steward. To one of you, he gives 5 shares, to another 2 shares, and to another one, he gives 1 share. Now, as you know, if you're consumeristic, what happens in a moment like this is you begin to compare what you got to what everybody else got. Because if you're consumeristic in your mindset, you're always measuring and protecting, stressing and worrying about the numbers. And so maybe, just maybe the 1 share guy, the 1 talent guy is a little ticked because he didn't get as much as the other 2 guys. Like he might be wondering, does the boss not like me as much? Did I do something wrong? Doesn't he know how good I am at what I do around here? Doesn't he know how faithful I am? Doesn't he know how hard I work? Don't I deserve as much as those guys? And I say all of that to say this, because I think it's kind of the first step of moving towards stewarding well what God has placed in our hands, and it's this. Possessions are not earned. They're given. Any of us that have been, are being, and will continue to be, because I do think it's a process, any of us that are being transformed towards stewardship knows that as long as you think that possessions and money and stuff, and if you think that it's earned, then you will always compare yourself to others and what you wish you had, what you think you should have. And here's the deal, you'll always be disappointed. That'd be the story of a lot of you if I said, here's a mic, give a testimony about this. This is what you would say. But when you live knowing that even your possessions you work for are given to you, then you're free from being owned by them. You need not protect them or serve them or measure them or feel deprived when you don't have them. You actually find freedom to use them instead of consume them. And I know, listen, I've had the conversation with lots of people through the years. There is an automatic pushback to that thought of possessions are not earned, they're given. And the pushback is this: Jason, I've worked really hard. I have earned what I have. Do you want to hear my story about how I've earned what I've had? And I'm sure it's a fantastic story. But I also know that someone gave you the ability to work. I know someone has given us the smarts, the talent to have the job that you have that makes what you make. It's all given. He's incredibly kind and gracious. This isn't an anti-earning statement when I say that it actually is a gift of his, because he gives you the ability to do the things that you do. And it's all throughout the scripture. Psalm 24:1 says this: the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. It's all his. Or Psalm 89:11, the heavens are yours, the earth is also yours, the world and all that is in it, you have founded them. It's all his. Haggai 2:8, the classic Haggai passage. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. It's all his. 1 Corinthians 6, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. It's all his. Yet we wait for his return in a culture that's telling us 24/7 that it's all ours. Back to the parable. Then, let's pick up verse 16. The master went away, and it says this in verse 16. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent, he went and dug in the ground and he hid his master's money. So here's what's amazing to me as I look and think about this. Even though he owns it all, and he does, even though he owns it all, he desires to entrust it to us. Can you believe that? Like, this actually is an incredibly humbling thought if you're looking at everything that you have through the lens of he's placed it there. It's incredibly humbling. He owns it, he's entrusting it to us. Why? Because it's central to kingdom work. God knows that as we steward his stuff, it has the potential to put the gospel on display and draw other people to him. So he gave one guy 5 talents and one guy gets 2 talents and one guy gets the 1 talent. Your Bibles might say silver, but the Greek word there is talaton, and it said that 1 talaton was worth over 6,000 denarii, and denarii was the currency they used back in the day, and 1 denarii was worth 1 day's wage, and so talent-wise, you'd have like 16 years worth of wages. And it's fun, if you go read through all the different commentaries on this passage, they're all trying to do the calculations of what this is in U.S. currency. I don't know if they factored in inflation. You know, times are tough right now. Anyway, basically, it's a whole lot of money, and I'll just go with this one. Oh, the 5-talent guy, about $1 million. 2-talent guy, I'm getting about 400,000. 1-talent guy is getting 200,000. Now, here's the point. The point isn't all of that. The point that Jesus is getting across is that what he has entrusted to us is of incredible high worth and value. That's the point. So the 1-talent guy buries what was given to him, and the other guys double what was given to them. You know the story. They steward it pretty well. 1-talent guy, not so much. But here comes the boss. He does come back. He wants an account for what he did with what he gave you. And these are really direct words from Jesus. I am coming back. You will give an account. Not I might come back. Not you might give an answer. He will, you will, I will. All right? And this is what it says in verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and he settled up on the accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So the 5-talent guy, he can't wait for the master to get back and ask him how he did because he stewarded well. Hey, master, see what I did here? I doubled your investment. Now again, 1-talent guy, he might be standing there and thinking, are you kidding me? How in the world did he do that? He might be thinking what we sometimes think, and I don't know, maybe it applies to you, I'll throw it out there. Some of us think it must be easier to steward well when you have more to work with. Because that is what some of us think, right? We see people with much, and they're generous, observationally. And we think, well, if I had that much, I would be so generous too. That's actually been in some of your prayers this week when you've been looking at the Powerball going up. You've been saying this. These have been your exact words. I'm not listening in. I don't have your prayer time bugged, but I know. But then you look at verse 22, and he also had 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I've made 2 talents more. And his master said the same thing to him. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So, if 1-talent guy is tempted to think or use as an excuse for poor stewardship, some people have it easier than him, and that's why they're so generous and frugal and wise with their possessions. Well, then so much for that theory, because 2-talent guy did what 5-talent guy did with less than 5-talent guy. Well, obviously, he stewarded his stuff really well too. And the boss says, well done, you've been faithful over a few things, I'm gonna put you in charge of many things. And here's what we learn from this parable. Stewardship is not about what you have. It's about how you use what you have. Leave that up for a second longer, because I don't want us to rush past it. Because it's easy to look at that and go, that's right. I agree. But the proof in that statement and whether or not you go, yeah, is actually as you examine your life, am I being a good steward of what the Lord has entrusted to me? I think stewards are always asking, how can I leverage what I have into something more for God and the kingdom? Consumers do have more of a mindset of, I gotta protect this. I can't lose this. My worth is found in this. On to verse 24, he also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. And so instead of potentially saying that you had nothing to work with, which is maybe what you were thinking about till you listened to the other guys, instead what you're gonna go with is I'm just gonna blame the boss himself, which is it's a pretty bold move, right? You're a hard man and I'm scared of you. So I just went ahead and hit it in the ground. You kind of chuckle about it a little bit, but you actually do see another point of stewardship here, I believe, between the first 2 servants and the 1-talent guy. When you are truly being a steward, you have a totally different view of the master. When you're truly living with your hands open and what he has entrusted you with towards kingdom things, it does point to actually how you view the one who has put the things in your hands to begin with. The first 2 guys see the master as, I believe, incredibly generous. Can you believe that he would entrust us with this? Whereas the last servant, the consumeristic thinking, the boss is stingy. The boss is hard. It kind of gets at some of the questions I asked at the very beginning, like how do you go through life? How do you view what you've been entrusted with? If you think he's holding out on you, if you're constantly comparing yourself to everybody else, yeah, it will practically play out in how you handle what it is that he has so kind and graciously put in your hands. But did you notice what the boss said to the other guys when they told him about how they had been stewarding his stuff? He says something really great. He says, enter into the joy of your master. Or said this way, come and share in my happiness. Because someone who is stewarding well what God in his kindness and grace has put into their hands, well, that steward's biggest desire is not the master's possessions. It's his happiness. Or said this way, how you see the master has everything to do with how you steward all that he's given you. Or said this way, only when we allow the gospel, what the master has done for us, only when you let the gospel motivate you, will you truly grow in living with your hands open, growing in wisdom with resources, stewarding well what has been in his kindness and grace given to you, given to me. If it is all his, and if he has entrusted it to us, and if we will give an account for how we managed what he's entrusted to us, and we will, not maybe, not hopefully, not just some of us. You see, for the first of the servants, even though they were given different amounts, the master said the exact same thing to him upon his return. Well done, good and faithful servant. You managed my stuff well. You are a wise steward. And the guy who did nothing, the guy who did not manage and steward, he was thrown out. Strong words from Jesus. But it was proof that he actually never knew the living God. This is the point that Jesus is getting at in the parable. It's not that he lost his relationship with God. It's proof that he never had one. But when what God has done for us in and through Jesus not only redeems us, but also motivates us towards life change and towards sanctification, then it is our joy to steward all the things that he has entrusted to us. Yeah. Listen, and I don't know where your brain goes this morning. Maybe it's simply been on finances. And for sure, this applies to finances, but it actually applies to everything. So as I conclude, I'll just throw out a couple of others, right? It applies to how we are stewarding the family that God has given us. If you have a family, are you stewarding that? Our homes, in our neighborhoods, our jobs. It's all the things. It's how we take care of ourselves physically. It's our bodies. From Corinthians, right? It applies to everything. In the gospel, what God has done for us in and through Jesus Christ becomes the motivation for all of that. It's a gospel thing. I was talking with some folks back in the day about this, and I was actually talking about like taking care of ourselves physically in regards to this. And unbeknownst to me, this couple that I talked to, they went and they joined a gym. And after they came back, I hadn't seen them in a little while. And probably a month later, I was like, well, you guys are looking good. And they were like, yeah, join the gym, losing weight. And the husband said, I'm down 30 pounds. And the wife said, I'm down 15 pounds. I said, wow, that's amazing. Thanks for sharing. It's a little more information than I want. It's great. Not really. I said, so tell me about it. Like, what are we doing? Well, talking about stewardship of life and how the gospel motivates everything. Went to the gym. You know, when you go to the gym, so a personal trainer wants to know your why. Like, why are you doing this? And so we just looked at the trainer and said, gospel. The trainer says, tell me more. Well, this is the body that God's given to us. Got to steward it well. Got to steward everything well, including how we go about taking care of ourselves, right? And the trainer actually started coming to the church. Oh yeah, I'm going to come check this church out because that's not been people's why when they've walked in here before. I want to hear more about this. Yeah, it's all his to be stewarded. Every piece of it. And I believe that as we do, then we, the church, much like the early church, like we're known for generous stewardship. And a church that is known for generously stewarding all they have because they know God has placed it in their hands. Now that's a church that matters.
The Jesus on Display podcast is produced right here at Fellowship Greenville in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Follow and share this podcast with anyone who might be interested or curious about our church community or how storytelling unites us and helps us feel more connected. To actively keep up with what's going on at our church, head to our website at fellowshipgreenville.org, follow us on all social media platforms, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks so much for tuning in. Grace and peace to you for your week. We'll see you next time.